And as we said on the very first night, there's not going to be another camp ever like this again. With this group of people, with the way God's working in hearts and lives, it'll never ever be the same again. So you need to seize the moment. You need to take advantage of what you have right now. Don't wait for the next camp or the next opportunity that God speaks to your heart. Take opportunity now. There's a lot of people, I'm sure, that you could speak to and say, or ask them the question, what do you wish you had done with your life now that you're 60 or 70 or 80, however old they might be? And I'm pretty sure if they were honest with you, they were saved, they would say this: I wish I'd given the Lord more. I wish I'd given him more. I don't believe there'd be any Christian in their right mind who would say, I wish I'd given him less. But I reckon there'd be a lot of Christians who'd say, I wish I'd given him more. Now, you young people, you have the best opportunity of your life to give God what you have now. Don't wait till you get old. Don't waste your life in the world. Spend your life for Christ. Invest it in eternity, and the rewards and the returns are out of this world. And you need to see that by faith. We've been focusing on the last few sessions on this aspect of faith. And faith is just simply believing what God says in His Word and acting accordingly to it. It's not just in your mind, it's not just in your head. I believe faith is evidenced through your actions. If you really believe something, you'll do something about it. And you can say as much as you like, well, I believe what you're saying. Well, that's all very well and good. You've got the rest of your life to put into practice, though. And I hope and pray that you've been taking notes and you've been paying attention to what God's been speaking to you about. We're back in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be there for tonight and tomorrow and maybe till the end of camp. I'm not sure. I've had to adjust a few things as we've gone along. Hebrews chapter 11, though, we'll read the verses we've been reading. I'm hoping they're going to be familiar, so that when you read them next time you're not at camp, they'll stand off the page and look at it and you'll say, yep, I know exactly what God's saying. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read from verse 23 down to verse 29. Hebrews chapter 11. And starting in verse 23, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Amen. Let's just ask the Lord's help as we come to his word. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you and bless you for every soul who's here tonight. Father, we're here by divine appointment. Yes, we made a choice, but the Spirit of God moved in such a way we're obedient. Father, you know the needs of every heart. I do not know the needs. I do know there are needs. I do know that there are young people here who are struggling with things in their life. They're making decisions even this week that will affect the rest of their life, and maybe for some of them will affect the rest of eternity. Father, this is a serious time. This is a time when we want to pay attention to what the Word of God says. I pray there'd be no distractions this evening. I pray you'd settle our hearts, settle our thoughts. And I pray the Holy Spirit would walk amongst us, would speak to hearts, get attention in the areas we need to be spoken in. And Father, may you receive the glory for anything that takes place that is worthy of glory. And Father, may you receive the praise. And we love you and thank you in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've looked through some things in the first verses of that passage we've read. We've looked at, by faith, Moses chose some things. We looked that, by faith, Moses forsook some things. We looked at that this morning. And if you're going to be on this journey in life and you want to please God, you're going to come across some things in your life that you're going to need to forsake. Some things you're going to have to leave behind. They're just going to be a hindrance to you along the road. And many, many Christians are labored down or loaded down with things they don't need. They just don't need them. And a lot of these things aren't sinful. A lot of these things are maybe appropriate. There may be things that are useful. There may be things that in some people's lives may be helpful. But in your life, it's not the case. And you need to learn discernment as to know what's going to be needed in the journey that God wants you to walk and what you don't need. Just think for a moment, if you were going in a running race, how many people who would run in a race would line up on the start line with a scuba tank, with flippers, with a 9mm dry suit and line up for a running race? How many would do that? I don't think anybody would in their right mind. Now, are all those things useful? Well, if you want to go diving, you're going to need them. But if you're going to go running, they'll just get in your way. There are a lot of things in the Christian life that you need to recognize. Yes, they're not sinful. Yes, they're not things that you could say the Bible says, thou shalt not. But they are things in your life, if you hold on to them, they're going to slow you down, they're going to hinder you, and in some cases, they will cause you to turn aside. You need to be careful. Just because your friend can do it doesn't mean God wants you to do it. These are hard lessons to learn. These are not easy things to accept. We like to think, well, if he does it, I can do it. If she says it, I can say it. If they go there, I can go there. That's not how the race is run. That's not how God has laid out your journey for you. It's a walk of faith. And there are things that God is going to bring to attention that you're going to have to put aside. You're going to have to forsake. Moses forsook Egypt. The Bible says that he identified with God's people. But that was not enough. He had to leave some things behind. He had to forsake Egypt. Maybe some of you adults, I don't know, maybe we can have some application for adults too. Sometimes adults get just busy with life and they forget that there's a higher calling and there's more important things to do than what you're doing. You need to get a good grip of yourself and understand that if you waste your time in some things in life, you're going to be a hindrance to your kids. Oh, but it's not sinful, brother. I'm not saying it is. But you're leading them astray just through things they don't need. You've got to forsake some things. You've got to leave some things behind. You say, but it doesn't bother me. It may bother your kids. These are serious things. He forsook. He endured, and he saw him who is invisible. Verse 28, I want to focus on that tonight. The Bible says, through faith, he kept the Passover. He kept the Passover by faith keeping. Keeping things by faith. Now, we need to probably read the passage in the Old Testament just to get some sort of clarity and a context of where we're at. Let's go back in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus and chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, if we could turn there. If you were to go to the start of your Bible, you'd have Genesis. The very next book is Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. I want to read just a short portion of the chapter because it's a long chapter. We don't have time tonight to read it all. 51 verses in chapter 12. But I want to read just some verses and I want to make some comments about that. And I want to make some comments of what's been taking place up until this point. Exodus chapter 12 verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with the legs, and with appurtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. This is the most significant part of Moses getting out of Egypt. Now, up until this point, if you know anything of the plagues of Egypt, how many plagues have there been until this point? How many plagues were there in total? There was 10. So this is the last one. How many have been? You're good at your maths. Okay. So there's been 9 plagues up until this point. Now, if you take the time to read it, every single one of those plagues that was brought upon Egypt was brought about by a direct command to Moses. Moses was told to do certain things and he was obedient. Every time God said, do something, guess what Moses did? He did it. Now, some of those things that he did were unusual. Some of those things you'd think to yourself, this is crazy. Some of those things you would say to yourself, is it going to work? Some of those things you would say, I don't think that I've heard of this before. Do you know, God doesn't always do things the same way he did it the time before. Sometimes he does things different. He never goes against his word, but God is God, and sometimes he changes things up a little. The point being this, though, that Moses demonstrated his faith by a continual obedience to what God showed him. He kept the commandments of God. This wasn't the only one that Moses kept. He had a habit of life of keeping the commandments of God. And young people and older people, if you want to be successful in your journey, if you want to make good headway on your journey, if you want to get to the end of your life and look back and say, thank God I've got through this life, one of the reasons will be is because you're obedient to what God showed you. One of the reasons why I teach my children to be obedient is because I want to establish a pattern of life. I want my kids to be obedient not just to me because I'm their dad. I want them to be obedient to me because it's God's will, and I want them to be obedient to God's will for the rest of their life. All right? They need to have a pattern of being obedient. It'll demonstrate their faith in God. We've already looked at some things that God asked us to do are not easy. We've looked at previously that there are some things you have to endure. You have to toughen up a little. You have to, as it were, grow so that you can handle some of the things that God's going to bring into your life. But it will never happen if you're selective in your obedience. Have you heard of selective hearing? You hear what you want to hear and you don't hear what you don't want to hear. Often my kids have that problem. They're selective. I'll say to them, I want this done. And then I come back an hour later and it's not done. And they'll say, I didn't hear. But I can tell you something. If I say, can you get the lollies out of the cupboard? They're off like a flash. Man, that doesn't take much. They hear those things real well. Something else that obedience to God's command does, when we keep on doing it, it'll establish faithfulness in your life. It establishes faithfulness in your life. I'm finding it very difficult to find faithful people. This is not a criticism of anybody here. I'm just saying this as a general rule. It is hard to find faithful people. It's very hard. And I know it's hard because the Bible tells me so. The Bible says most men will proclaim every man his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? In other words, everybody wants to sprout off about how good they are and all the successful things they have done, but there are a few people that turn up time after time after time without being told. It's rare to find. And young people, you need to establish through obedience a pattern of faithfulness in your life if this journey that you're on is going to be a successful one for the Lord. Faithfulness is absolutely key. The Bible says, and Paul said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know what I believe is one of the singular most important things for someone who is going to minister in the Word of God? I believe it is faithfulness. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, the things that I have committed unto you, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to do likewise. The process of how we receive the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God wasn't through slackers. It wasn't through people who weren't disciplined. It wasn't through people who didn't have a pattern of their life. It was through men of God who were faithful. And the reason why you have the Word of God in your hands is because faithful men decided they were going to obey God over anybody else. And young people, you need to, if you're going to write anything down this week, write this down. I will be faithful to God. I will be faithful to God. You know, it's a choice. It doesn't just happen. You don't just all of a sudden happen to be faithful. Faithfulness happens through choices, decisions we make to be just obedient in simple things. I've been saved for a little while, and I guess I've seen a little bit over the years. Some kind young man yesterday told me he thought I was my early 30s. I was very flattered. But I'm over 40. I'll be 44 in a couple of weeks. I was saved when I was 12. And my father started a church when I was about 6 years of age. And all I can remember in my life pretty much is being in church. That's all I can remember. But I would lose count if I was to count all of the people that I've seen come and go in that period of time. I would lose count. And I'm not trying to put myself up there as an example of faithfulness. I would say in many ways I've been a complete failure. And there are so many areas in my life, if you knew about them, you would say, what are you doing? I'm sure of that. I'm just trying to make an illustration here. But if we can't faithfully attend church, then how in the world are we going to be faithful in anything else? This is the most basic fundamental part of what God, the Lord Jesus, made the church for, was to come together. Now, yes, the church has a job to do. But if we can't come together as a church and just faithfully attend what God has set in motion, then how in the world are we going to be faithful in anything else? And I'm not here to criticize anybody. And I understand people have jobs and people have things they need to attend to. But when people have options to go and choose not to, that's the problem I have. When you plan your whole week and see if you can squeeze church in the end, there's something wrong with that. You know, I say, well, you're a pastor and you've got to be in church. I understand that. But I've, for a very long time now, planned my week around Sunday and around Wednesday nights. I remember my dad telling me from just a boy, he would say to me, "You know something, son?" He says, "There's no way you want to miss out on a church service." And I would say, "Why is that?" He would say this. He would say, "Guess, just imagine if God came down and he filled the place and we missed out." I thought, wow, imagine that. Imagine if God came down and revival broke out and I missed the service. I'd be devastated. Faithfulness just in simple things. Faithfulness in just reading the Word. Faithfulness in just in prayer. Faithful in sharing the gospel. These are basic fundamental things that so often slip out the back door and we replace them with more important things and we cease to be faithful in things God has called us to do. Young people, I know some of these things that you're still working towards and you're trying to work it out and you're trying to understand it and you're kind of looking at these things and going, "Man, is that what God wants me to do?" Yes, it is. He wants you to know God for yourself. You don't have to go through mum and dad to work out who God is. You can go to the Word of God and work it out for yourself. But just be faithful. Stick at it. It takes time. You know, it took 10 plagues for Moses to get out of Egypt. It didn't happen on the first one. Sometimes these things, they take time. You know something else that keeping the commandments of God shows? It shows I love my Lord. It's what it shows. It demonstrates that. In John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You say, "Well, I don't know if I love the Lord. Or I want to love the Lord. I really do. I know he loved me so much and I feel like I want to love him and I just don't have that feeling of love. But how does it work? How can I know that I love my Lord?" Well, this is how you know you love the Lord. You do what he tells you to do. That's how you love him. This world's got a mixed up idea of how love works. You know, in this world, love revolves around how you feel. "Well, I feel attracted to that person. I must love them." Not necessarily. You might have a lust problem. That's not necessarily love. Now, I'm not saying that you oughtn't have feelings in love. I've got feelings for my wife. And I'm sure if you're married, you've got feelings for your spouse. That's okay. But I don't always have feelings. I wake up some mornings and think to myself, "Man, I can remember when I was single. And I didn't have to go to work. And I didn't have to pay for all the bills. And I didn't have to..." I've thought that before. You say you're a carnal Christian. You better believe it. There's times I've thought it. I'm not proud of it, but that happens. You say, "How do I know I still love my wife?" Well, I get out of bed in the morning and I get up and do my things I need to do and I go to work and earn some money and I pay for some food and put it on the table and I say, "I love you." See, love is practical. You don't always have to feel it. Hey, it's good when you do. I love when I feel in love. But when I don't feel in love, you just keep loving anyway and just keep doing what you're doing. That's how it works. Love's not a feeling. It's action. How do I know I love God? Well, I keep his commandments. Moses was showing how he kept the Passover and all the other things that he was told to do. He's saying this, "I love God. I love God." You say, do you think he felt like he loved God? We don't know. It doesn't matter. We know he did anyway because he just did what he was told. Children, how do you love your parents? You just do what they tell you to do. How do you love your pastor? You just do what he tells you to do. How do you love this person and that person? Pretty easy. It's pretty simple stuff. Let's keep it simple. I'm a simple bloke. I'm a country fella. I don't understand a whole lot of this fancy thing that all these other guys talk about. I just look at it simply, and that's how it looks to me. You know something else about keeping God's commandments? It affects other people. Really does. Really does. You think about the situation in Egypt. Here we go. We've got, 2 million men. 600,000, wasn't it? 600,000. So there's about 2 million, 2.5 million people all up. That's what they estimate. We don't know. But let's just say there's 2 million people in Egypt. They're slaves. They're suffering. They're in bondage. They're getting flogged. They're dying young. The kids have been murdered. The boys have been thrown in the river. The crocodiles are having a feast. What a horrible place to live. And you've got one man who gets serious with God and says, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to be obedient to you. You know, as a result of one man's obedience, the whole nation benefited from one man's obedience. You say, well, if I be obedient, what's the benefits? That's not why we are obedient, by the way. But I can tell you that the benefits are other people benefit. Husbands, if you love your wife's going to benefit. It's true. Children, if you love your parents, there'll be some benefits in it. Now, we're not doing it for the benefits, but I'm telling you, this is just the practical way it works. So many other people are blessed by your obedience. Now, sometimes this takes time. Doesn't always happen. You know, we're like the fast food generation where we drive up the window and order our food and 2 seconds later we've got it. That's not how God works. Don't expect that you're going to be obedient when you get home and all these blessings come flooding upon you. No. Don't expect that when you just listen to what your past has to say and you're obedient, then all of a sudden all these great things happen. It doesn't work that way. It needs to be a pattern. We understand that. But other people benefit when you are obedient. How many people do you think are saved in this room because one man said, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do and go start a church? You imagine if that man had said, sorry, Lord, I'm busy. It's not the time. There's probably people in this room who wouldn't be here and may never have been saved. I believe it's that serious. You say, well, if God is going to save him, he'll save him anyway. I don't believe that's the way it works. How shall they hear except somebody tell them? There has to be a human agent involved. It's the way God has so designed it. If you think that you can sit at home and not share the gospel with anybody and people will still get saved, you've been mistaken. That is not how God works. God has so ordained the church that it goes into all the world and preaches the gospel to every creature. And when they are not obedient to that, more people go to hell. That's the reality. And you can argue as much as you like, but the Bible is very simple and clear about this. And I don't want to get into an argument about whatever other ideas you might think are out there. I just want to put it plain and simple. We've been given a command and God expects us to obey. And young people, I encourage you, you start sharing the gospel with your friends at school. You start talking to your neighbors. You start talking to your cousins. You start talking to everybody you can. I love it when little kids go up and hand tracts out, gospel tracts, and give it to some person. They do it without fear. They do it without any care in the world. They don't know that that person doesn't love Jesus. They don't care about that. They just want to do what's right. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He wasn't ashamed of you. Simple obedience. It affects other people. The same can be said about disobedience. By the way, if you're disobedient, you'll affect people just the same. If you don't listen to what God tells you to do, guess what? It'll affect other people. You know, I have a lot of people say to me, oh, it only affects me. I'm not hurting anybody. No one else got hurt. It's just me. It's just me doing my own thing. No one else has to worry about it. Now, guess what? That's not the way it works. The way it works is if you obey, then other people get benefited, and if you don't obey, other people suffer. It's pretty serious. By faith, or through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You know, Moses could have kept it to himself and just practiced this Passover business on his own. He could have said, well, I'll just try it and see if it works. Done it to his own house. The angel would have passed over Moses' house and nothing would have happened. But every single house around him would have been dead people everywhere. Dead people everywhere. But because of his obedience, through his obedience, he developed a compassion for other people. You know, if you really want to please God, you'll start caring about other people. You really will. You can't help but love God, live for God, and be obedient to him and not start caring about other people. Isn't that opposite to the world we live in? You know what this world says? Look after number one. Take care of yourself. Step on toes. Climb the ladder of success. All of the things that go completely contrary to what the Word of God has for us believers. Is it any wonder when the church brings the philosophies of the world into the church, it's a mess? Absolute mess. Keeping God's commandments demonstrates my faith, demonstrates my faithfulness, demonstrates my love, and it affects other people. May God help us tonight just to settle it. Say, by the grace of God and God helping me, whatever he shows me in the Word of God, I'm going to just put my hand up and say, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. Whatever God shows me. I want to see my journey through life. I want to see other people benefited. I want to see the blessing of God upon my life. Now, did he go through hard times? We've looked at that. Of course he did. This is not an easy road. But it's a blessed road. It's a blessed journey if you keep it simple and just obey what God shows you. Forsake the rest. Love Jesus. Be obedient to his commandments. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We're thankful for the simplicity that you give us. It's not complicated. Children can easily understand this. And yet, why is it so many times we find it complicated? We struggle with it. And we find ourselves in situations in life and we wonder how in the world we got there. Father, you have not written this book for us and given us your word to confuse us, to hinder us, to make life miserable for us in any way, shape or form. And yet so often for the believer, that is what's happening in their life. Lord, help us just keep it simple. Just to be faithful to you in all those little things. Father, help us just to be obedient to your word, not to be men pleasers, but to please God. Father, I'd give you all the thanks and praise for helping tonight. May these thoughts not be removed from our hearts quickly, we pray. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.